debate update. This week for October 22nd, 99, we'll cover all the tournaments that occurred since October 1st when we did our last show. That's going to be a lot of tournaments, so we'll get started. But first, I want to introduce to my left is Daniel Zerfer, a UVM UVM freshman. On his first show of debate update, on my right is Aaron Fishbone, a UVM sophomore, second-year debater, and veteran of many Flashpoint shows. You two debated together this last weekend, right?
Yeah.
We have a team to talk to you about the world of debate since the last time we talked to you. All right, let me turn it over to you for the Northwest and tell us about the tournament that happened there.
On October 10th, there was a Lewis and Clark Pioneer Invitational in the varsity division.
Yes.
In semis, Gonzaga KM defeating Lewis and Clark Hager and Steiner in a 3-0 decision. Also, you have Whitman defeating Lewis and Clark, Hesterburn College in a 2-1 decision. In the junior varsity division, you had UPSTZ defeating Seattle JS in a 2-1 decision.
The University of Puget Town teams are really good this year.
Yeah, I think so. They've been cleaning up a little bit of race. And in semis, you have that team that won it defeating Seattle in a 2-1 decision, no team given. And as well, also Gonzaga AG defeating Lewis and Clark, CV in a 2-1 decision.
All right. Now, you have the Rocky Mountain region or the Midwest you want to start with?
The Midwest region.
All right.
All right, in the Midwest region, there are two tournaments this semester so far. And it was in Northern Illinois University on October 9th through 10th, and here are the results of the NIU. In open quarters, it was John Carroll SL versus UChicago BW, and JCU won in a 3-0 decision. DePaul DM versus Loyola ME, DePaul DM winning in a 3-0 decision. Next, it was DePaul HW versus UNIRB, and UNI won on a 3-0 decision. And finally, there was UChicago SS versus MTSU-BW. MTSU-BW won in a 2-1 decision. In open semis, JCLU-SL versus Northern Iowa RB, and Northern Iowa RB won in a 2-1 decision. DePaul DM versus MTSU-BW, and DePaul DM won in a 3-0 decision. And in finals, DePaul DM beat Northern Iowa, the hosts, RB, and DePaul won in a 2-1 decision. The first speaker was Sobakal from John Carroll, the second was Woodward from MTSU, the third was Marcus from DePaul, the fourth was LaBelle from John Carroll, the fifth was Bishop from UChicago. In novice semis, first round was MTSU-MJ versus Loyola DS, and MTSU-MJ won a 3-0 decision. Northern Iowa HD versus Wheaton WB, and Northern Iowa HD won a 3-0 decision. Novice finals was MTSU-MJ versus Northern Iowa HD, and MTSU-MJ won on a 3-0 decision. And speaks for the novice was first place was Meadle from MTSU, the second was Humke from UNI, third was Smith from Augustana, fourth was Danish from Loyola, and the fifth was Thumbs from UW Oshkosh.
All right. In the Southeast, Valdosta State had a tournament from October 2nd to 3rd. Here we have our first parlay division of the show, and fifth place in the parlay division was Danke from Georgia College. In fourth place from Morehouse, we have Stewart. In third place in the University of West Florida is Cruz. And there's a tie with the same number of points. In second place from the University of West Florida is Dewey, and in first place from Georgia College is Holcomb. The tie was actually broken on speaker point adjustment, so congratulations to all the parlay speakers. Now, the semifinalist rounds pitted Georgia College HD over Morehouse SM, and Georgia College won on a 3-0 decision. West Florida DC also debated Georgia College Valdosta JD, and they won that round on a 3-0 decision as well, setting up the parlay finals of West Florida DC and Georgia College HD, with West Florida winning on a 3-0. Now, into the CETA division, the fifth place speaker with 160 points from Florida was Burns. The fourth place speaker with 160.5 points close from Morehouse is Thompson. And third with 163 points from Florida State is Bellhurst. And second with 165 points from Southern Louisiana is Gauthier. And first place with 167.5 points from Florida State is Hedges. These debaters, or some of these debaters, participated in the open final round of Florida State VP and Tennessee SR. Florida State VP on the affirmative 1-2-1. In the novice division, there's five speakers we'll recognize. In fifth place, from Florida Community College of Jacksonville is Cohorn. In fourth place, from Florida Community College of Jacksonville is Martino. In third place, from Florida Community College of Jacksonville is Griffin. In second place, from Southeast Louisiana University is O'Neill. And in first place, from Morehouse is Lowry. In the novice final round, Florida Community College of Jacksonville MG defeated Morehouse FL on a 3-0. Now,
Andy, anyone watching, paying attention on the internet, didn't even notice that I dropped the second and the Midwest tournament, and I forgot to actually read you the results of that.
All right, well, let's go back to Ball State.
Yeah, Ball State took place on October 16th or 17th. Sorry, everyone. And here are the results from October 17th. In semis, it was ISUHR over NIUAT ISUHR over NIUAC was 3-0. ISUKT over NIUBR won in a 3-0 decision. And Illinois State closed out. In the varsity semis, Miami OH won 2-1 over NIUMZ. NIUDP won a 2-1 over Loyola. And in finals, Miami OH won a 3-0 over NIUDP. NEDA semis, University of Wisconsin Lacrosse 0-1 over SEMO 2-1 decision, Bob Jones over Cedarville in a 2-1 decision, and in the final, Bob Jones won a 3-0 over UWL. In Parley, Rose Holman over DePaul 3-0, Rose Holman over Rose Holman 3-0, and Rose Holman closed out.
Alright.
So now we can continue, I guess.
Now I'll continue with the South and tell you about the Sam Houston State Tournament on October 9th and 10th. In open, there are five speakers that we need to recognize. In fifth place from Abilene Christian University is Josh McDonald. In fourth place from Southeast Louisiana, there's that familiar name, Gauthier. In third place from Southwest Texas, Courtney Wheeler. In second place from McNeese State, Matt Holland. And in first place from Southwest Texas, Jason Myers. Now, the open semifinals pitted Southwest Texas WW versus University of Texas at Dallas JK. University of Texas Dallas JK advanced. And the other semifinal round, University of Texas at Dallas SF defeated Southeast Louisiana GS. Again, University of Texas Dallas advanced, setting up the fact that there is no final round and co-champions from the University of Texas at Dallas. There's also a novice division with five speakers we'd like to recognize. In fifth place from the University of Texas at Dallas is Myers. In fourth place from the University of Texas at Dallas is Lay. In third place from the University of Texas at Dallas is Burnside. In second place from Sam Houston State is Abregio. And first place from Sam Houston State is Easley. Novice semifinals were University of Texas San Antonio MG versus University of Texas at Dallas WM. University of Texas San Antonio wins that round, and Centrum, CAMZM versus Sam Houston State EA, CAMZM wins that. Now this final is UTSA MG versus CAMZM, and UTSA wins. Good job, UTSA. Now we go back to you for the rest of the California tournament.
First, we have two California tournaments. The first one is the Santa Rosa Junior College. That's from October 9th to the 10th. And in the novice division, in semifinals, you have Santa Rosa TM defeating Sacramento State on a 2-1 decision. You also have Vanderbilt AV defeating Sacramento State on a 3-0 decision. Final round came down to Vanderbilt AV versus Santa Rosa, and it's going to be a Vanderbilt decision there, 2-1. The speaker awards in the novice division are in fifth place, Chante Gordon from Santa Rosa with 109. In fourth place, you have Jen Gregory from Sacramento State with 110. In third place, you have April Clark from Santa Rosa, also with 110. In second place, you have Attila Panzel from Santa Rosa with 110. And in first place is Emery Yin from Santa Rosa with 114. In our varsity division, we have in semifinals Vanderbilt RP defeating Chico State, A-1 2-1 decision. You also have Diablo Valley College, JM defeating Los Rios PS in a 2-1 decision. And in the final round, Diablo Valley College, JM, defeats Vanderbilt, RP, on a 2-1 decision. Now, the speaker awards for the varsity division are, in fifth place, you have James Anderson from Cal. In fourth place, you have Aurora Smith from Los Rios. In third place, you have Victor Bradleton from Los Rios. In second place, you have Adam Rosen from Vanderbilt. And in first place, you have James Porter from Vanderbilt. And there's no junior.
They have a junior final.
In the junior finals, you have Vanderbilt JF defeating Los Rios WM on a 2-1. And then the Junior Varsity Speaker Award, you'd be in fifth place Jason Fernandez from Vanderbilt, in fourth place Aaron Hess from Chico State, in third place Anne McMullen from Diablo Valley College, in second place Matt Joyce from Diablo Valley College, and in first place Becky Anderson from Chico State. Moving on to the San Diego State Aztec Invitational from October 16th to October 17th. You have in the semifinal round, SOCTR defeating Arizona State University, FM 3-0, and California State University at Fullerton, DS, defeating SOCLP on a 2-1 decision, and final round at California State over SOC on a 3-0 decision. Now, the speaker awards for novice are in fifth place, Amy Dempster from CSC from California State. In fourth place, you have Ben Elliott from Pepperdine. In third place, Nick Lermore from Arizona State. In second place, Sang Lee from SOC. And in first place, Franco Cinerelli from SOC. In the junior part, there's no junior, so we'll go straight to novice. Oh, we got to get some, so we'll go straight to open. In the semifinal round, you have USC, not to be confused with Southern California, or CSUF in a 2-1 decision. You also have USC advancing over, KB advancing over Pepperdine in a 2-1 decision, so there's no final round there. USC is co-champions, and the speaker awards are fifth place, Cindy Morgan from Loyola, in fourth place, Adam Koester from CSUB, in third place, Eric Holland from USC, and in second place, Larry Salazar from CSU, and the top speaker, Chris McFarland from Southern California. That will do it for them, California.
All right, let's go to Fishbone for the Rocky Mountain Tournament.
All right, the Rocky Mountain Tournament, there are also two. I'll do them both this time. The first one took place at Southern Utah University on October 2nd through 3rd. And here are the results from Red Rock. The results from, in novice CEDO division, Arizona State over SUU hybrid, Desmond Clogg. Over Idaho State, Mays Sweatman, 1-0, one judge used for six breakout. For round six breakout and four division teams. Speaks were one for Sweatman and Idaho from Idaho State. Two was Mays from Idaho State. Third was McLemore from Arizona State. The fourth was Fadley from Arizona State. And the fifth was Desmond from Arizona State. In the junior Arcida division, we had the semis. Casper BP over Idaho State AS won a 1-3-0. And CUBB won over Idaho State BD in a 2-1 decision. And the final CEU over Casper in a 3-0 decision. Speaks were Buka from Idaho State was the first speaker. Second was Borella from Casper. Third was Warner from CEU. Fourth was Andrews from Idaho State. And fifth was Bentley from CEU. In the open semis, Weaver ZW over Cal State Bakersfield. CML won a 2-1 decision. CSUBPW advances over CSUBMC. And the final, CSUBPW won over Weaver WZ in a 2-1 decision. The speaks was Peterson for the first. Cosper for the second, Wells for the third, Blevins was fourth, and fifth was Zoller. And in this Casper College tournament, which took place on October 8th and 9th, the Pioneer Trails tournament was held in Casper, Wyoming on October 8th and 9th. And in the semifinal round, Wyoming VL defeated Eastern Utah BB on a 3-0 decision. Casper SO defeated Southern Utah DA on a 3-0 decision. In the final round, Wyoming VL defeated Casper SO on a 2-1 decision.
In the East, there were two tournaments. University of Richmond from October 9th to 10th will start first with varsity speakers. And fifth place from Binghamton, Joe Schatz. And fourth place from Pitt, Andrew Zangle. And third place from Binghamton, Marks. And second place from Catholic, Pomorski. And in first place from Mary Washington, Tussing. Now, JV speakers, and fifth place from Liberty, Laura Gall, and fourth place from Catholic, Luke O'Connell, and third place from Liberty, David Cooper, and second place from West Virginia, Joshua Whitehead, and in first place in the JV division, University of Richmond, is Sarah Wilson from Catholic. Novice speakers, five again, in fifth place from Catholic, Thomas O'Gorman, in fourth place from Liberty, Matt Berg, in third place from Liberty, Scott Jones, in second place from Catholic, Chris Flores, and in first place from Boston College, Brian Kane. There are the semifinal outrounds of varsity pitted Binghamton MS against Catholic FP, Binghamton defeated Catholic on a 2-1. Liberty FY defeated Pitt KS on a 2-1, setting up the following final round. Liberty, Leah Frazier and Nick Ying versus Binghamton, Schatz and Marks. Liberty wins on a 3-0 decision. In JV outround, the semifinals pitted Liberty CM and West Virginia MW. Liberty CM won on a 3-0 decision. The other semifinal round had Catholic PO and George Mason CM. Catholic PO won on a 3-0 decision. In the finals of the junior varsity at the University of Richmond, Catholic PO and Liberty CM, Catholic PO on the affirmative won on a 3-0 decision. And novice, semis. The semis pit Catholic MO and Boston College HK. That was a 2-1 victory for Catholic MO. And the other semifinal, Liberty BC and Catholic FS, Liberty BC defeated Catholic on a 3-0 decision, setting up the following final round. Liberty BC versus Catholic MO. On a 3-0 decision, Liberty won on the affirmative. The second tournament of the East Coast for the weekend is the University of Rochester from October 16th to 17th. We have a non-policy division here. There are five speakers which were recognized. Fifth from NYU and Columbia is Brindle. Fourth from Rochester is Robinson. Third from Rochester is Ume. Second from NYU Columbia, Haynes. And first, at the first annual Samba Non-Policy Division Tournament at Sepulwood from Rockland Community College. The final round of non-policy pitted NYU Columbia and Rockland SC. NYU won on a 3-0 decision. In the varsity division, there are five speakers. Five, Morgan from Vermont. Four, Gorlick from NYU. Three, Hightower from Cornell. Two, Cole from Cornell. And the number one speaker at the University of Rochester, Sarah Snyder from the University of Vermont. Semis pitted Cornell KC and NYU GG. Cornell KC won on a 2-1 decision. The other semifinal had Vermont MS over Cornell MM on a 3-0 decision, setting up the following final round. Vermont Morgan and Snyder versus Cornell Cronk and Cole. Vermont Morgan and Snyder win on a 3-0 decision. Junior varsity speakers. Five, Surfer from Vermont. Fourth, Goldstein from Columbia. Third, Suarez from Columbia. Second, Finch from the United States Military Academy. And the number one speaker, Kim from the United States Military Academy. The semis, these two, Vermont Fishman and Surfer, defeated West Virginia SE on a 2-1 decision, and Cornell BW defeated USMA RM on a 2-1 decision. In the finals, these guys managed to lose to Cornell, but Cornell BW beat Vermont FF on a 3-0 decision. You'll get them next time, right? All right. The novice division had 31 teams, far more than either of the other two divisions. Let's recognize five speakers. Oh, no, we already did speakers. Let's do semis. Cornell SD over West Virginia JH on a 3-0 decision. Vermont TA over Cornell DW on a 3-0 decision. And in finals, Cornell SD over Vermont Town and Alexander on a 3-0 decision. The sweepstakes winner at the University of Rochester based on total wins was the University of Vermont. The runner-up was Cornell University. All right. Now that we've done the results for this week's shows, or for this week's debate, let's talk about some of the things affecting the community right now. One question that I find particularly important going into this year is the prevalence of PICS. All of the suggestions at the beginning of the year were that this was going to be a year in which the PIC was way overused. These were threads on the list quite frequently throughout the summer. Do you, Surfer, think that the PIC is being overused or abused or is hurting the... What do you think about the PIC right now?
In Fishbowl's experience in the topic so far, which only those 16 rounds, we haven't really had much of a pick debate. People have run maybe a couple, but no one's ever gone for a pick against us as far as the 2NR goes. Fishbone and I got our first pick in this past tournament, and we decided not to go with the 200 as well. But it seems like the potential is there for a huge amount of picks. I mean, for all the sanctions that exist, it seems if you could get really down and specific with each sanction, you can just do mostly affirmative plan, but exclude a specific sanction, and then have the net benefit. And that's just, like, it's a tough decision, because it's set, like, this topic of lives for, like, that, and the debate to go on. It's like the epitome of what the pig debate could actually be, like, the perfect example of it, in terms of all those sanctions and, like, just not letting one in. But the thing is, on terms of the Cuba debate, the pig debate, the net benefits aren't as unique as they are as, like, Iraq and Iran debate.
So, for example, you haven't run into a bunch of people excluding parts of Helmsburg against you?
No.
Also, I think a good argument to be made against that is just that it makes you justify every sanction that you're leaving, or that, you know, every sanction that's involved in your action, which is important. It seems to me that the standards that the community has set down so far this year in discussions with people is that there must be a piece of evidence specifying that your part of the plan should be excluded.
Yeah.
Do you think that that's a fair standard to keep picks from being introduced every round, or do you think that's too restricting?
That should be a standard. It's not enough to have the evidence say this thing is bad. It should indicate that the other part of the plan is good. Otherwise, you can just have a baby formula thing where you just list all sanctions, but just sanction baby formula companies. And like, that's an absurd sanction. Like, in reality, Congress wouldn't just sanction like Nestle or Gerber.
But you think it's okay if there's a specific piece of evidence that says that Helms-Burton excludes baby food, includes baby food.
Yeah, I mean, if it can get that specific, I think that would be. But I think if that piece of evidence existed, we would have it, and we don't.
Alright, so your standard, the baby food pick then, is it a legitimate negative strategy?
No, not legitimate.
I mean, why is it legitimate? I certainly think that we can have a decent debate on whether it's a good negative strategy from a strategic point of view, but do you think that the negative who runs that should lose the debate because they did something illegitimate?
I do. On the baby formula one, exactly, because I think it's the perfect example of the argument that some people make is like, that type of pick justifies doing a plan except for $1 and then running a spending disadvantage and net benefit. Like, there's the baby formula evidence just doesn't talk about any sanction at all. Like, people, from our experience, it seems they're just running the baby formula pick as a counterplan tax, but then the evidence just says baby formula is bad. It's just an impact card.
I guess my question becomes this. Bottom line, it's your 2AC, it's your 2AR, you've just had a pick debate about baby formula where they tried to exclude that. Are you willing to go for the pick is abusive answers in the 2AR?
I would hold them up to a different standard, but I think that if I were on the night, all I'd really feel that I would need would be something saying that baby formula sanctions are effective and successful, specifically not that like the rest of Helms like that's bad, that's good, the rest of Helms is bad, whatever. Just that, that sanction is effective and then like baby formula bad in fact, whatever, and then that's fine, and then I don't think that's abusive.
So yeah, I think I'm affirmative, you hold them up to a piece of that standard that they have to have a piece of evidence.
Well, otherwise my argument is just gonna be like no internal link, right? Or no evidence saying like that, you know, this sanction, you know, they're not there now, no evidence saying that like Helms-Burton's effective anyway, no evidence saying billions of things.
I think specifically that's a just argument. I don't think it extends to pesticides because that's under export control section, but I think the baby formula pig specifically is really abusive.
Okay, so let's take the conversation away from Cuba a little bit and talk about the relevance that the pigs have had in the topic. There was a lot of fear at the beginning of the year that this was going to be the year of pigs, and this was a sentiment widely echoed on the list when this topic was chosen. Do you think that people are being scared away from running the pigs because clearly they offer strategic value?
Yeah, it seems so that. There's a general, I mean, from our experience, it seems like there's a general consensus that if you're going to run a pick and really go for it, you better have a really good piece of evidence that does do the delineation. I mean, otherwise, you know, it just falls into what we've been talking about.
Is the negative who initiates the pick debate willing to say, that they don't care about the counterclaim, they're just, that they're willing to win the debate on the theory issue. Do you think that that's what's happening?
Yeah, it seems like, a lot of times, because these picks, it moves away from this, it seems though that perhaps teams might run in and like say, all right, forget about the counterclaim, we'll just engage in the theory debate, and if we just make better theory answers, we don't need to evaluate the counterclaim, just playing with around at a theoretical level. So it seems like that's really, instead of going to the pit, just going back to the theory argument on the pit, and then whoever wins that would win the debate. You know?
Here's what I think is happening with the
theory. We haven't had that many rounds about that, though.
Okay. What I think is happening about the pick debate is that people are being chased away from the concept of picking, of using those planet groups of counterpoints because they're afraid of the theory debate. The affirmative has no place to turn other than to the theory debate because all of their plan has been sucked up, and it's going to be very difficult to win a given baby from the formula is good. Mm-hmm. So I think that negatives who are strong in the theory debate have set themselves up so that the only thing they have to debate is whether the pick is abusive or not, mm-hmm. because once they've done that, they've allowed themselves the strategic ability to not even have to worry about the pick. The pick strategy doesn't occur actually on the effects that it has on Cage, but it occurs on the effects that it has on the affirmative by distancing them away from their affirmative and only having them defend that picks are abusive. And I think that affirmatives and negatives who are both up on a pick theory debate this year are going to win a lot of rounds based on the abuse arguments, because the abuse arguments are good, but they're also beatable. I think that that's where the debate is going
right now. Well, I think hands down, once that negative doesn't have that evidence, though, it's like you can look to the evidence to help evaluate the theory debate.
Once the negative has the evidence, then the affirmative has no choice but to initiate the theory
debate. Yeah. And then they're going to even more in there.
Yeah, but if it's good evidence, then like, I think that once that happens, then it's just too more substantive debate, because like that piece of evidence takes out many of the abusive arguments. It'd be like, in terms of like the pick, maybe not like positional or other theoretical.
Yeah. All right. We'll have to continue this conversation at another time. We have about a minute left, so I want to ask a quick question. You've debated 16 rounds on this topic. You've gotten a lot into it. Where do you think it's going? Where do you feel like the big issues that people are going to debate are?
I think, generally, North Korea and Cuba. Me and Fishbone haven't debated the Middle East case at all.
What?
So I think there's going to be more. I think that even as it goes down, we get limited down further to either North Korea and Cuba, and perhaps maybe one country top in terms of like competition going on.
Fishbone, is it going to stay North Korea and Cuba?
Well, I mean, then there's also the issue of actually who's going to actually lift sanctions, you know, for real and status quo, whether the sanctions are going to be lifted or not. And that could definitely knock out North Korea, you know, could even knock out Cuba, like, I don't know. But yeah, we were at one national tournament and one regional tournament, and all we debated was North Korea and Cuba. And so, I mean, I don't know what that says, but whatever, you know, I mean, but that says a lot of laugh that there weren't very many Middle East cases that we did.
All right, I think we're stuck with North Korea and Cuba for the rest of the topic, and I think that Iran will start to become important around the new year when the elections come up. But until then, North Korea and Cuba. And for now, that's it for this week. And this version of the show. Tune in next time and we'll talk about more tournaments and more issues within the debate community.